Master, today at satsang, it became totally clear to me. All the poems of Rumi and other lovers describing the beloved as a cup or an ocean. I saw you clearly as a fountain, overflowing with truth, with love, with consciousness, and I felt my own thirst so deeply and strong. And at the same time, realizing that I can drink from this fountain as much as I need. The fountain is endlessly flowing. The source is endless. It can never stop flowing. The relief was and is so profound, and the love also, and most of all, gratitude. Thank you, beloved, for being here with us and letting us drink you. 2 months ago, I became a mother. My lover, Hannah, gave birth to a beautiful boy. Sami, we have named him. Being present at his birth was an experience I have not the words to describe. It must be this they call a miracle. You can see it happening, but you cannot understand that it's possible. So then the brain gives up, and what I experienced was both physically, emotional, and spiritually intense, beautiful, and overwhelming. From that moment, I felt totally in love with him, and now when I sing to him and he is relaxed in my arms, he looks straight into my eyes and beyond. I feel that he looks into my soul, and I completely disappear into his eyes. They are so open, so deep. I feel that a deeper love has awakened in me, but also not so comfortable feelings have turned up, like fear and an intense need to protect him from everybody, also myself and my own conditioning, and jealousy for having to share him with the world, and anger for how crazy this world is. I believe that I fear, most of all, that I will not be able to be authentic with him, to be real, to be myself. In this society of information overload and the never-ending flood of good advices and opinions of relatives, friends, health workers, even strangers, it seems almost impossible to get in touch with my own instincts and intuition. So I feel that this is the time to stand up and say, I don't know, but I don't want you to tell me how to do things, because even though you think you know, you also don't know. I will be brave. My eternal love and gratitude, Malika. You better be brave. That is the only way you're going to make it, to break through all that conditioning, all those opinions. Very brave and very courageous you have to be. That is an absolutely must being a sannyasin. Otherwise you will always be a slave. You have to break through. So all this is good because now you see. Most people don't see. So now life has presented you some good things that you start seeing beyond the curtain. Now you have to follow your own intelligence, your own heart, your own clarity. And that is how it works. When people don't see, they cannot change. They cannot stand up for anything because they are asleep. Only when you start seeing how things are. That's why truth is always dangerous, because it will confront you. It's very difficult to feel and see the truth and not act on it. Then it will be more tension inside, which also for many is part of the journey. And still it is a chance that one goes back. You have to be so strong that you have come above that, that there is no chance of becoming false again, that there is no chance to fall asleep again. You say, "Beloved Master, today at satsang it became totally clear to me. All the poems of Rumi and other mystics and lovers describing the Beloved as a cup or an ocean. I saw you clearly as a fountain overflowing with truth, with love, with consciousness." Yes, this is how satsang should work. Things should become clear. Otherwise, you are not clear. You're all foggy. So that's very good. That's how satsang should be. You should be clear. You should connect again with that which is real. I saw you clearly as a fountain. That's the thing, you have to see clearly. When you see clearly, then there's no doubt and you know. That's what I'm after to ignite in you. That's what satsang is all about, to ignite that clarity, that trust in yourself, that you can see through the bullshit. And I felt my own thirst so deeply and strong. That comes like a shadow. If anybody is not thirsty or longing, it just means that they are asleep. You have to see, then that get ignited. And that's what I'm here for, to ignite that thirst. And then you can quench that thirst. But most people, they don't even know about it. It's unconscious. And that thirst, it will definitely challenge you. It will test you. You can't only live by bread alone, Jesus said, no? But most people are happy. They just eat bread and rice the whole life. They don't know how it is to be hungry or something else. You can live only by bread. You can live only in unconsciousness. It's totally easy. Most people do. But if you see, if you first have met somebody like Jesus, then it's very difficult. Because he will ignite your thirst. Then you want that wine that you understand what Rumi is talking about. No, you want that wine now, not that other wine. Most people, they think Rumi talks about ordinary wine, that Hafiz talks about ordinary wine, that they are just drunkards. because they have never felt how it is to be intoxicated by something else. And at the same time realizing that I can drink from this fountain as much as I need. This fountain is endlessly flowing. The source is endless. It can never stop flowing. You can drink if you are available for it, and if it's space in you to drink. My dear Malika, you are a good woman, but it's all new. I will introduce you to the wine and the cup. Because the ocean that Rumi talks about, that is the beloved. But the cup is you. The wine of divine grace is limitless. That's just what you are saying. I realize that I can drink from this fountain as much as I need. Yes, the wine of this grace is limitless, says Rumi. That's true. All limits come only from the fault of the cup. The grace is there, the wine is there, but all limitation comes from the falls of the cup. Moonlight floods the whole sky from horizon to horizon. How much it can fill your room depends on its windows. It depends on the windows. How much light of the moon can come through? The moon is there. But many people, they have the curtains closed. And many people have very small windows. If you long for the moon to shine into your house, which is your body, if you get a little moon mad, and that's what I want you to become, then maybe it's all the possibilities that you will go a little loony, moony. You might even start breaking down the walls in your own house. You start rearranging things. Because now you have realized how beautiful that light is. You become thirsty for that golden light. Then all the neighbors will say, what are you doing, Malika? You can't do that. You are crazy. It's always been like that. And that's what I go on reminding you. Whatever you go through, it's totally normal on this path. And that will give you the strength. How much it can fill your room depends on its windows. And the master is there to first make you aware of this beautiful moonlight that floods the whole sky from the horizon to the horizon. First open your curtains, then open your windows, then break down the walls, then take away the roof, then move out in the fields. But in that process, maybe everything will be lost. How people look at you, and you're crazy, your safety. No, you're sleeping outside. That is moon madness. Grant a great dignity, my friend, to the cup of your life. Love has designed it to hold His eternal wine. Love itself have designed it. God itself has designed you to hold that divine wine. No, just realizing that, if you are ready to understand the impact of it, it can be a transformation. Your whole focus will change from the ordinary to the sacred. Grant a great dignity, my friend, to the cup of your life. Take care what you are using your cup for. That's what I go on reminding you. You have to become conscious who you are with, what you are doing, how you live your life, how you speak, who you are spending time with, where you were. Everything has to be more conscious. You have to take care of it, so you don't get disturbed unnecessarily. So you can become more and more available for the moonlight, for the Master, for love, for God. That's how it is. It is endlessly flowing, and it can never stop flowing. But you can again close up. That's the whole thing. That's again and again you have to be reminded that is more to life than just bread and family and everything. The relief was and is so profound, and the love also, and most of all the gratitude. This is the signs that you have felt the impact of that divine moonlight. People who are not loving, grateful, peaceful, feeling that profound, it just shows they have never felt it. It's easy. Thank you, beloved, for being here with us and letting us drink you. Drink. "2 months ago, I became a mother. My lover, Hannah, gave birth to a beautiful boy. Being present at his birth was an experience. I have no words to describe. It must be this they call a miracle." Everything is a miracle if you see, but then you can see very clearly. You are a miracle. Everybody is a miracle as far as I'm concerned. We are all miracles. But you don't live it, you don't know it. Then sometimes, oh, baby, miracle. Because you are asleep. Then you open up, and for everybody you open up and it's something, a baby, a little kitten, something goes in. But with everything is magical. You see now. And with the baby, of course, then you become attached, which is what you are writing, which is dangerous. Beautiful and overwhelming. "And from that moment, I felt totally in love with him. And now when I sing to him and he is relaxing in my arms, he looks straight into my eyes and beyond. Still, he doesn't see anything. He just sees beyond. Everything is just liquid for him. He's been squilping around down there for 9 months. He's totally drunk. Totally drunk. Everybody is totally drunk when they come. Don't know what is going on. That's what he can remind the humans of innocence again. It's always been like that. But that innocence is in you. And this poor rascal, he doesn't know. He has the innocence, but he doesn't know. But he can remind you, because you know how it is to be lost. That's why always the mothers, the parents, the grown-ups, wow, how beautiful, how magical. They are living in the magical, because there's no ego there yet. That's why they look so beautiful. That's why they have these eyes. that he's just googly googly. But he doesn't know. He has no awareness of himself. So first, you are googly googly like that and see beyond. Then you gathering this dust of society, of image. You're becoming somebody. Then you lose yourself. And you lose that look to the beyond. Now, this is the next step. Now you have touched that beyond again. That can be reawakened. Then you can still have that look of the beyond, of the stars. But you're aware of it. And only then is it precious. He does know it's precious. That consciousness is not there. But he can remind you, because you know how it is to be unconscious. That's why all these babies, they work for the divine in a way, because they can remind us. But remember, they also have to be lost, just like you all did. Because maybe it's something in human existence that only if you lose something can you really appreciate it. So that's how it is with many little things. You don't know the value before you lose it. And then maybe it's too late. So this is the ultimate and the most precious to find again. I like fear. I feel that the deeper love has awakened in me, but also not so comfortable feelings have turned up. That's how it is, my love. When you go deeper, when you start seeing, you cannot choose. They both will come up. You get the light and you get the darkness. Everything that has been hidden has to come up. So the loving and the fear has to come up. And that is growth, now the process starts. Like fear and an intense need to protect him from everybody. Also myself and my own conditioning. And jealousy for having to share him with the world. And anger for how crazy this world is. Fear, conditioning, jealousy, anger. Great. No, you have to look at all these things. They are very real. And there is no easy way. It's not even easy to give birth, but that's nothing compared to be a good mother. Because then you have to be conscious. And that is difficult. That is very difficult. And you cannot do it from the mind. So the only way is to come back to yourself and to take care of that. Those eyes that can look beyond. To keep that reminding that this is what is important in life. Not all the other things that society is teaching you, my dear son. But those starry eyes. That is what is important. And that you cannot talk about if you don't have it. It's impossible. That's why nobody is teaching it, because nobody has it. Anybody who has it, it will, of course, come out. Because anybody who has it knows that this is the most important. Anything else doesn't really matter. It's all games. So that is a big responsibility. But even then, even if you are an enlightened parent, which is hard to come by. Very hard. Most of the time it's the unconscious people who get pants, no? I mean, in the first place, why become a parent? First, you should become conscious. Then you won't have all these fears, because then you know. Nothing wrong. No, we are here, no. It has happened, okay, let's deal with it. That's what I said. Sometimes it's hard to get them out, but to get them back is impossible. Oh my God. So this is how it is, Maliga. This is very good because you are truthful. All this fear, intense need to protect him from everybody, also from myself and my own conditioning. Jealousy for having to share with the world and anger for how this crazy this world is. I believe that I fear most of all that I will not be able to be authentic with him, to be real, to be myself. That's why it's so important that you know yourself, that you stay in touch with yourself. And if you know that, and if that is what you want, the doors are open. You are here. You are very fortunate if that's what you want. So all the other things will fall in place if you become real. Because then you will see. If you become authentic, if you become real, you can deal with any situation. And you know exactly what to do. There's never any options. Everything is clear. And that is great. That is great. Because then there's no mindfuck. That doesn't mean that this will not be hard times. Maybe for you, maybe for the family, maybe for the child. Of course that will come. But in that so-called problems, it will be a clarity. Otherwise, it's too much. In this society of information overload and the never-ending flood of good advice and opinions of relatives, friends, health workers, even strangers, it seems almost impossible to get in touch with my own instincts and intuition. Yes, it is almost impossible. He's totally right. It's almost impossible, but there is possibility. And you have that possibility in your hand now, in your heart. Most people, they are not even aware of it. They are just slaves of opinions, of friends, health workers, even strangers, the flood of good advice, information overload from people who have no idea what they're talking about. You should confront anybody. Where's your clarity, my dear? How do you live your life? What do you have to say? How do you take care of your children? Don't start fucking around with mine. Hasa! Then, oop. But you have to be strong because people are used to unconsciousness. And in that unconsciousness, you can say and do almost anything. And that's what people are used to, just blabbering. Blabbering without having no idea. Or read it in some women magazine, what to do. If you had looked at the life of that woman, it seems almost impossible to get in touch with my own instincts and intuition. It is very hard work. But don't stop at instincts and intuition. That is just in the beginning. Most people, they are also not in touch with that. What is your really instinct to go on? Your intuitive heart, your inner voice. No, that you start touching. And that's beautiful. But let that lead you to a clarity. And that you can only find when you know yourself. And you don't listen to all this unnecessary overload of information and good advices, no matter who they come from. Because you will, if you are not aware, because you don't know. The more people don't know, the more they ask others. If they know, they don't ask anybody. And also they don't tell anybody. Only if they really ask. And really if you feel that, oh, this is some person that is possibility that she is available to listen. Only then the truth can be given. Truth is not for the masses. They are happy with that overload. Truth is very individual. You have to find it yourself. It's not for the masses. It's not for the society. And then the only way is to know yourself, to trust yourself. So I feel that this is the time to stand up and say, I don't know. But I don't want you to tell me how to do things. Because even though you think you know, you also don't know. Yes. Very good. And don't even, after, if you really even want to say all those lines, which for me feels a bit unnecessary, but maybe in the beginning it's good you stand up for that and say it, because when you say something, you're also affirming, you're standing up for yourself. The next step is just to go. Just turn your back and leave. Because if anybody wants to talk nonsense, why should you listen to it? And why should you pay attention that they should be your friends? So even if they get annoyed with you, it's very good. Because maybe they will leave. One less advice to hear, listen to. It depends where you are. It's a million ways to deal with things, no? You have to find your way. I never took any bullshit for anybody else. Only when I found my master, then I listened. Only ear I became. Suddenly I had elephant ear. Whoop! I became a little Ganesh. Whoop! Just listening. Up to that moment, I didn't find anything interesting. Then when I found him, then I realized, this is what I was looking for. Not a single question, just ears. Then it goes like that. Then the master will teach you how to be brave and cut through the bullshit. My eternal love and gratitude, Malika. Very good, Malika. Good luck. I will help you. So first I talked about the cup, because you must have been reading Rumi. And now I talk about the ocean, what Rumi says about that. So the one who is thirsty has to make a cup available. And the cup is your heart, and the more you open yourself, the bigger cup. And the heart can be without any limits. Then existence has a lot to pour in, if it's like a heart like that. If it's a tight heart, not open, a little prune, not possible. How can the ocean come into the cup? The cup first has to work hard to become big. Rumi says the man of God is an ocean without limits. The man of God makes pearls rain without clouds. The man of God is drunk without wine. The man of God is full without bread. The man of God is a king under his tattered robe. The man of God is a treasure in the ruins. And what is the ruins? That is the world, the society, the good advices from the idiots. That is the ruins. The man of God possesses 100 moons and heavens, and 100 dancing suns. The man of God is made wise by supreme truth. The man of God isn't instructed by any books. The man of God is beyond faith and godlessness. For the man of God, just and unjust are alike. The man of God is served with dignity, with grace, with gratitude. The man of God is hidden. Oh, my friend, go and look for the man of God. Find him. This is the most important mission in your life. Hello. No, she is banging now. Devadasya. Did you bang? Huh? By accident? Are you ready to start again now? Just feel at home, Devadasya. You must be by now. You came and just stayed. What is this you're playing now? Have to keep in mind. I used to like to read the poems of me. It's not Devadasya, it's but I did not have a clue what he meant when he said beloved friend until I met you. Now I know why the Sufis were, it's awfully hard to all the Bodhidharma now, because he was wondering, it's not only you who ask, but even he was wondering why we stopped the important sutras. He's saying anyone who gives up the transcendent for the mundane in any way is immortal. Immortal is one, an ordinary person who has no idea of his true self, of his courage. He's saying anyone who gives up the transcendent for the mundane in any way is immortal. Everybody is immortal because they sell themselves and they listen to the unconscious society and never looks at themselves and thinks for themselves and reflect on the truth. So everybody gives up the transcendental for the mundane, for the ordinary things. That's how it always has been. Those who become immortal, those who become sages, are those who are not a slave of the mundane, of the ordinary, of the society. Those who have courage to break free, to be themselves. If you remember your divinity, the transcendental, then you are not interested with the mundane. And if you don't know the divine side of you, then the mundane has all the power over you. It's easy. It's either or. Yes, you have someone, the seeker. He's in between. He starts see. The mundane he sees, this is just stupid. It must be something else. Some thirstiness is there. But the divine, the transcendental, haven't stabilized yet. He's in between. That's what a sannyasin is. This path from the mundane to the transcendental. A Buddha is someone who finds freedom in good fortune and bad. Such is his power. Karma can't hold him. No matter what kind of karma, a Buddha transforms it. Heaven and hell are nothing to him. This is totally out there. To say something like that is just far out. Really far out. That's why this Bodhidharma is my kind of man. Tell that to somebody. Those who wants to tell you something. Buddha is someone who finds freedom in good fortune and bad. Such is his power. Karma can't hold him. No matter what kind of karma, a Buddha transforms it. A Buddha always, even the poison he makes into gold, he can play with it. He can transform it in a minute. All that heaviness, all that mind, all the problems, it can be transformed very easily. It all depends how you look at it. If you are very heavy, it will be very heavy. If you are very light, it will be very light. It all depends on you. If you have totally forgotten your Buddha nature, it will be very heavy. It will be impossible. You are a slave of the karma, of the good and bad. And you can never transform anything. But if you are not so identified, then any episode can be transformed. That is the power of the Buddhas. No matter what kind of karma a Buddha transforms it, heaven and hell are nothing to him. Because you create your heaven and hell. And the Buddha is beyond that. He accepts things as it is. He doesn't create heaven or hell. He's beyond the opposites. So how can he be under influence of it? Is nobody there to create this or that? Nobody there to want this or that. You accept. That is what a Buddha is. Another word for the Buddha is Tathagata. That means someone who accepts things as they are. The suchness of things. The totality of things. That you can only accept if you see, if you understand. Whatever it is, then nothing can touch you because you accept. acceptance is a golden key. Everybody is fighting. The ego likes to fight, to control. Then there's no acceptance. If you are not sure, don't act. Once you act, you wander through birth and death and regret having no place of peace. He's reminding you, if you are not sure, don't act. Even that little key can help you tremendously. Because most people, they act without thinking. Just like a machine, you press. Like in therapy, you say, you press that button. Encounter groups, you press that. You press a certain anger button, jealousy button, sadness button, frustration button, doubt button, like that. That means things haven't seen different sides of yourself, you haven't understood. So all this is just laying there under the surface. If you are not sure, don't act. Think about things. Don't just say things. Do things. Act unconsciously. Take a minute. Do I know? Is this right? Does this feel good? To say, to do? Then you start getting wiser. Then you start getting a distance to your reactions, your unconscious reactions. You start taking notice, contemplating a little bit. Maybe I'm not sure, maybe I shouldn't say anything. Like the whole society we just talked about, everyone wants to tell you. They don't, they never reflect. It blah, 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 blah. The more conscious, the more careful you are. So, in between, this is very good. If you are not sure, don't act. And you are not sure. The only way to be sure is to become more clear, more grounded, more centered. Otherwise, don't say anything. Don't act. Wait. Once you act, you wander through birth and death. And regret having no place of peace. That is how karma is. Because if you act unconsciously, you create karma. You can't even see act because it's not act, it's action. If you have action out of consciousness, then there's no karma. If you act unconscious, then you get karma. You reap what you sow. Most people, they have no idea because it takes a long time from you plant something till it grows. The more conscious you become, the more you see, you have created that, you have planted that seed. No, out of awareness you start being aware how you have planted many poisonous weeds, many things you don't want. And then, out of more new awareness, you start planting those seeds. That is awareness. Then you don't create that karma. If you are not sure, don't act. Once you act, you wander through birth and death and regret having no place of peace. And there is no place of peace if you act and behave unconsciously. Because you always have this something in you is very pure. So that place in you will always feel uneasy by things you have done, by things you are doing unconsciously. And the more pure you become, the more clean you become, the easier is it for you to feel that this is not right. If you are totally impure, totally unconscious, then very easy to do stupid things. Even so much so to kill another human being or to blow yourself up in the name of God. And how could anybody do that? Because all religions say God is love. So how can you kill in the name of any God? It's totally ridiculous. Just a little awareness and you start seeing really what a crazy world it is. How unconscious we live. If you are not sure, don't act. Once you act, you wander through birth and death and regret having no place of peace. To understand this mind, you have to act without acting. Only then will you see things from the Tathagata's perspective. But when you first embark on this path, your awareness won't be focused. In the beginning, you have no awareness, so you won't be focused. Then you again and again are going to stray outside the path. You're going to end up in the bushes. You're going to fall down the cliffs. You're going to hurt yourself. Because you are unconscious, but you know that it is a possibility. So again and again, come back on the path. Come back on the path. Come back on the path. Then you become more and more steady. And less things are interesting you outside. Because when you first get the taste of love, of awareness, nothing compares to it. So it's not so tempting anymore. To understand this mind, you have to act without acting. Act without acting. How can you do that? Because all acting comes from the mind. Then you have to be conscious. That is what Bodhidharma talks about. In China, they call it Wu Wei. Action without action. Doing things without doing it. Now, the night has come. Tomorrow morning, the day comes. Is anybody doing anything? Everything is happening beautiful. No, it's winter time. In a few months, all the flowers will come. And it's magic everywhere around. And millions of birds will sing. Who is doing it? That the humans have forgotten. That is trust. To fall again in tune with how existence is happening without doing anything. That is totally forgotten. That is what he is hinting. Only when you see things from the Tathagata's perspective. Tathagata's is another name for the Buddha, like I said, one who accepts things as they are, who are in tune with the Tao, with the nature, with the inner and outer nature. Then is no conflict because you are with everything. Everything is happening very easily, but nobody is there to interfere. That's what the Zen people are saying. Very beautiful. When I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm thirsty, I drink. When I'm sleepy, I sleep. When I feel like walking, I walk. There is no doing in it. It happens by itself if you are in tune. But when you first embark on the path, your awareness won't be focused. You are likely to see all kinds of strange dreamlike scenes, but you should not doubt that all such scenes come from your own mind and nowhere else. You should take full responsibility of all your mental madness and go beyond it. Everything you have created if it's beautiful things or ugly things. Everything you have created, how you look at the world, everything will become very simple the closer you come to your true nature. But in the beginning, you will see all kinds of strange dreamlike scenes. You should not doubt that all such scenes come from your own mind and nowhere else. And the mind can create everything. And only awareness will cut through it. Only clarity will cut through it. Otherwise, there's so many interesting things, spiritual things, so many fantasies. If you see a light brighter than the sun, your remained attachment will come to an end, and the nature of reality will be revealed. Such an occurrence serves as the basis for enlightenment. But this is something only you know. You can't explain it to others. It's very important that when you have deep experiences, digest it, go deeper. Be quiet. Or share it with your master. There's nothing to be talked about because you are not steady. You don't know what is mine and what is real. If you see a light brighter than the sun, such an occurrence serves as the basis for enlightenment. No, many people, enlightened people, said it's like the sun is rising. Kabir said it was like 1,000 suns rising inside. So it's many different ways, but many, it's one of the ways that you get filled of light. I have had periods where it was so much light that where's the switch? I want to sleep now. It's night and I want to sleep, but it's too much light. And there is no switch to switch it off. But this is something only you know. You can't explain it to others. Or if you are walking, standing, sitting, or laying in the stillness and darkness of night, and everything appears as though in the daylight, don't be startled, don't be worried. It is your own mind about to reveal itself. If you see your true nature, you don't need to read sutras or pray to the Buddhas. No, if you have gone through this, that means that the darkness of the mind get burnt away. No, nothing can hide in the light. So it is also just an indication. Everything has become light. Everything has become conscious. Nothing can hide anymore for you. It's impossible to do stupid things then. Because it's light. There's no darkness. People do naughty things in the dark. They steal, they break in, they harm each other, they hide. It's all in the darkness. No, when it's light, then everything is clear to see. So when there is light inside, it's impossible to do anything. The consciousness is such, it doesn't allow you to do anything. Even the thought isn't there because your awareness, your consciousness is functioning on a different level. The mind can only function in darkness. If it's light, it doesn't function like that. It functions more like clarity, like intuition. Showing off your knowledge is not only useless, it clouds your awareness. All doctrines are only for pointing to the mind. Once you have seen your true self, why pay any attention to any technique, doctrines or sutras? To go from the mortal to Buddha, you have to put an end to your karma. Nurture your awareness, take care, and accept what life brings. Once mortals see their true nature, all attachments ends. No, you have to nurture your awareness. You have to take care of yourself. You have to go deeper. You have to stay focused, devoted, total. This is the thing that will help to regain that balance, that clarity, that light. So you start functioning in a new way. Then it's not a question of courage or strength, because it's just clarity. You see. There is no darkness left. There is nothing that can pull you here or there. You see clearly. And you are, even if you hear nonsense, you know it's nonsense. Nothing sticks to you. If you're unconscious, that any stupid things that people say that you hear will stick to you, because you are not clear. Once you see your own true nature, why pay attention to any doctrines? It will all disappear, because you know yourself, you trust yourself. Come back to your Buddha nature. That's what this retreat is for. But you have to be conscious. You have to be focused on that. That's what you want. The mind has been restless forever. Nobody really has put it in its right place. Only by waking up your true nature will it slow down. Then there will be no fear, no jealousy, no doubt, no anger.